Do not be afraid, little flock, for it is your Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom. I confess, I often feel afraid, angry, hopeless. There's gun violence in our streets and schools and stores and marketplaces and places of worship. It's been 5 years since Michael Brown was killed, and yet the recommendations of the Ferguson Commission to bring about racial equity and economic justice in our region seem sometimes to be ignored or flouted by those with power in our region. Meanwhile, immigrant children and parents are being torn apart. There is so much in the news and online that can make me feel afraid or angry or hopeless. Perhaps you can relate. When is God going to give us the kingdom? It feels like we're stuck between the promise that it is God's good pleasure to give us the kingdom and the reality that this world does not seem to resemble the kingdom of God that we hope for. Sure, in the meantime, we can sell our possessions and give alms to those who are poorer than ourselves, but will that address the deep injustices that people face here and now? Or just make those of us who have possessions feel good about ourselves without making any real or structural change? The realities of this life, the longing for the kingdom of God, can make me feel stuck in between, not sure what to focus on, and not sure how to change anything. Theologian Debbie Thomas addresses this stuckness. Thomas says that we, as the people of God, are called to restlessness. We are called to this feeling of in-betweenness. In our lectionary readings this week, the biblical writers capture experiences of in-betweenness, experiences of loss and hope, exile and belonging. Directed by God, Abraham gazes at the night sky, trying in vain to imagine his descendants as numerous as the stars, while his wife Sarah remains barren. The psalmist writes of those who hope in God's steadfast love, even when that hope entails little more than patient endurance during famine and suffering. The writer of Hebrews acknowledges that the heroes of the faith confessed that they were strangers and foreigners on the earth, seeking a homeland even as they toiled in exile, deserving a better country, that is, a heavenly one. And through the gospel writer, Jesus describes faithful servants who wait for their beloved master through the long watches of the night, hopeful that he will return home and reward their diligence, albeit at an unexpected hour. Over and over again in our text today, in Scripture in general, we are instructed to have faith. Despite whatever we see in front of us, whatever we see on the news, whatever we experience. In the passage from Hebrews that we heard today, we are told, faith is the assurance of things hoped for, the conviction of things not seen. By faith, we understand that the worlds were prepared by the word of God, so that what is seen was made from things that are not visible. Faith is the assurance of things hoped for, the conviction of things not seen. What does that mean for us now? What does it mean for us to have faith in this in-between time? To quote Thomas again, faith, as it is described in Scripture, is not a destination. Faith is not a conclusion or a form of closure. Faith is a longing. Faith is a hunger. Faith is a desire. According to Abraham's story, faith is the restless energy that pushes us out the door and onto the road in pursuit of the inheritance God has promised. Faith is the audacity to undertake a perilous journey simply because God asks us to, not because we know where we are going. Faith is the itch. Faith is the ache that turns our faces towards the distant stars, even on the cloudiest nights. Faith is the willingness to stretch out our imaginations and see new birth, new life, new joy, even when we, like Abraham and Sarah, might feel withered and dead inside. Faith is the urgency of the homeless for a true and lasting home, a home whose architect and builder is God. Likewise, according to Jesus' parable of the diligent servants, faith is a posture of active and engaged alertness. Faith is the rightly aligned heart, the dressed for action body, the lamp lit on a dark night. Faith is an overwhelming desire to welcome and serve and nourish Jesus whenever and however he makes an appearance. It is the daily business of living on tiptoe, our eyes on the door, our hands ready at the knob for the Master's joy-filled return. So yes, faith does not always overcome my feeling afraid or hopeless or angry at what's happening in the world, but there are ways to move forward. First, when I feel this way, I take Abraham and the psalmist as my examples, and I lament to God because I figure that God can take it. As you may have heard in the reading from Genesis, a despairing Abram, before he was renamed Abraham, laments, "O Lord God, what will you give me? For I continue childless, and the heir of my house is Eliezer of Damascus." Despite God's promise and his renewed promise in this passage, Abraham is afraid and in despair. It's impossible for him to believe in that moment that his descendants will indeed be as numerous as the heavens, as the stars in the heavens, when he doesn't even have one child of his own. And yet, eventually, his descendants have become as numerous as the heavens. And some of us are here today, whether we are Abraham's descendants spiritually or genetically, I'm not sure, but we're here today. When I feel like Abram, when it's hard to have faith in the coming of God's kingdom, after I lament for a while, I then try to get out of my own head and my own stuckness and do something to make this world a little bit more like the kingdom of God that I hope for. Giving alms to organizations I believe in, yes, but also writing letters to politicians, collecting signatures for ballot initiatives that will improve people's lives, volunteering at my kids' school, seeing God's promises in the faces of the children. In my experience, Thomas is right to suggest that faith is a posture of active and engaged alertness, a dressed for action body, an overwhelming desire to welcome and serve and nourish Jesus whenever and however Jesus makes an appearance. It is fundamental to our Anglican tradition that we wait and we work for God's kingdom with our whole selves, body, mind, and spirit. Often, to use the phrase we often use in our tradition, my praying does shape my believing. And if my actions are rooted in my faith and in my prayer life, my actions will shape my believing too. Prayer and action combined, engaging body, mind, and spirit, help me not to be afraid, capable of believing that it is indeed God's good pleasure to give us the kingdom. And it is our good pleasure, my good pleasure, to actively work for justice and peace in this in-between time. In recent weeks, perhaps like some of you, I have felt especially powerless to know what to do or say about all of the immigrants who are suffering and afraid right now in these borders. While it does not change the conditions or the policies that they're confronted with right now, Debbie Thomas, who was born in India and raised in the US, shares this gracious insight, an insight that has helped me to have hope that yes, it will be God's good pleasure to give us the kingdom, and it is possible to help bring about that kingdom now. Thomas writes, as a child of immigrants, living at a cultural moment when immigrants are facing unspeakable hatred, contempt, and abuse, I am particularly grateful that God loves the traveler, the wanderer, the foreigner, the exile. I love that those who embrace in-betweenness can serve as vital, living metaphors for the life of faith, contemporary parables for the church's growth and edification. I love that those who do not belong are closest to the heart and mission of God. And I love that the holy restlessness we feel as people of faith comes from God's restless love and desire for us. The home we strain toward is the same home that God is preparing for us now, because it is God's good pleasure to give us the kingdom. All we have to do is journey towards it. All we have to do is welcome it in faith. O God, who loves the traveler, the wanderer, the foreigner, the exile, we come to you today with a longing for a world in which all people may experience dignity, justice, and peace. Whenever we are afraid, hopeless, or despairing, knock and wake us up. Awaken our faith, our hunger, and desire for you. Help us to embrace a holy restlessness that causes us to work for a more just and loving world here and now. Keep us moving towards you, refusing to accept anything less than the kingdom of God you will give us. Amen.